interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting Episode, BTW RLM 446. As we continue this saga of I don't even know what anymore, it's really fascinating to watch. The globe, the whole world is in this thing. It's just fascinating. And how we get deceived, and that's going to be a little bit of what's going on today. And I'm going to jump something up. I was going to hold out for the end of the broadcast. I'm going to bring it up now because I was just told something relative to a video I was given that I wanted you all to see. The first important part, it's a 7-hour broadcast. I didn't have a chance to even look through it. It had to do with a Florida conference. But I'm going to run into a quick thing here because it speaks to what I've been talking to. Inside that Florida conference, it wasn't just Robert Malone explaining to you how this how to make mRNA technology understandable to most people, which I found is very important for you to understand on how this thing works. Not necessarily that I agree with it, but that you need to understand how they, what they think the biology does. It's very important. I also want to point out in that regard, I'm analyzing always whether or not I've told you over the last 2 years, because I'm not a research scientist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a so-called expert. I'm not relied upon. I probably have as much ignorance as anybody on some of these subject matters, but I have a propensity to study and want to understand real well. And I have to tell you in the beginning of this, there's just to let you know, and you can take my word here or not, but what I've been providing for you as the biological mechanisms hasn't been off to the extent that I'm talking. He certainly will talk more technical. It was interesting. He kept apologizing to his medical audience that he had to raise it up a notch to them because they would understand it. What's interesting to me was, is I understood exactly what he was talking about. What I'm saying there is you can too. If you just, and those of you that haven't yet, do the study on the biological functions of what's going on. You don't have to be a doctor to know. You just have to understand what's happening. That gives you insight of how it can't work or it can work. And he'll tell you, he did just in the first 15 minutes, he says in this broadcast that he did, there's five times, they said they just don't know what they're doing here. They have a good understanding of how it works, but the consequences are absolutely unknown. And this underpins the entirety of what they're producing as a mitigation measure. So not to get lost there, I wanted to get something else. I was told just this morning coming on the broadcast, what I wasn't able to at all get to. In fact, I just listened to the first part of it. Around 3 hours and 46 minutes into this conference, there's an attorney that steps up. And he wants to tell people, relative to the religious exemptions, it's a trap. Be careful. The government forms are set up as a trap. And so I did a quick listen. I can't qualify his website information. I did see one of the listings before I went to broadcast here. But it's very important. What I've been telling you, this is an attorney now, not a doctor, not Dr. Robert Malone, the guy that invented the technology of mRNA. This is an attorney speaking to religious exemptions. He actually talks about medical exemptions. And so this is a guy who has to he's been dealing with it in a legal, professional capacity. And he explains through case law what's happening and how you will fail and how you're set up to fail. He doesn't say anything different than I was cautioning everybody. And so I'm actually going to go back, and I don't think I did any of this in my documents relative to these religious exceptions they call it in the states. I think they even use that in the military, but they're exemptions at the federal level. This condition is a set-up trap. You're set up for the takedown. He says that, and I've told you this for years, before we get to the condition, the laws and understanding have been set up in the legal side, if you will, the judicial side, the bar association, the special interests that are all involved, partly how I can anticipate things like legalization of marijuana, how that was going to be custom tailored for the state and for special interest eventually. This is a known quantity. It's the battlefield. It's what happens. You're set up before you get into the battlefield. When I say you have to understand the battlefield, this is the type of stuff I'm talking about. He acknowledges these forms that were set up by the government and the restraints they put on the questions guide the process, if you enter into it, to bring you into destruction, into a lack of the accommodation. Remember, this is always an accommodation. When I heard that, I realized that's the trap. It's an accommodation. You have to agree the employer or the government has the power it has, without question, you've already agreed to even enter into the problem. That's also for me when I hear what this, that was a Jeff Childers says. That was the setup. They get you in on their forms, and then it gets them to start discussing more questions. And he brings up some very important things that I've been avoiding. My documents that I say mine, I wrote for people in looking at the condition when, again, the emergency, no one had anything to offer. I said, well, you got to lead with your challenge, with the obligations not being met by the state or the employer. And sometimes the employer is the state because it all goes into Title 29. I've been saying this repeatedly. I've been leading with this type of a technique repeatedly. I will not tell you I knew this was a setup for the takedown. I just know that it is, if you will. That's how it works. That's what we avoid. That's what I'm focused on avoiding. So I look for those savings clauses, those provisions that are the even the last shred of a right, and I stand there, and I make the burdens, I keep the burdens where they belong. This is a technique. It's not necessarily a knowledge. And so the technique is a first-line shield as you start getting confronted with the, what you're attacking with. And when I say we're totally ignorant, and people think I'm talking arrogantly like I know more than others. I'm not. I'm telling you we are ignorant to the deceptions that are coming at us. And we're so behind that for me over the decades, I've developed, if you will, methods to shield me, to give me some moment to watch the enemy come at me a little better. Hopefully then to position myself if I didn't know more. Better, I'm learning ahead to stay outside of that train coming in, you know, the on schedule. As planned, and you can see the schedule, and they tell you what the schedule is. So let me touch briefly here. I'm kind of inverting my link. I'll probably move this up now. It's a Florida conference. I want to just highlight some of the things he says. He also speaks to medical exemptions. He says avoid them. He goes, they have this thing constrained down when they start asking you questions that they will confine you down to the very little thing you can only use, and most everybody doesn't understand this. The ADA also, he says, does not provide, as I told you, recognition of any natural immunity for purposes of accommodation. In other words, you have to understand what accommodation is, just as I've been telling you. I just got to tell you, I'm telling you, folks, if you're listening to what I'm saying, you can't come off the narrow path I've been observing is needed at this point to follow. The affidavits I offer start out with a challenge against the authority to impose. It does not speak to religion. It challenges they have the ability to question the religion. It questions that they even have the, we take it as a harm that they're even asking. Right up front, we're nailing down the problem in a due process consideration principle. And so I'm feeling fairly well, really good, but I have, without looking very close yet, because I haven't had a time. In comparing what I've offered, we wouldn't get into discussing anything about the religion or get you into walking you down into answering questions. As I told you last week, when someone gets their exception form accepted, and this is the one I write because they were denying that, but they found out they have to accept them, then the employee gets put underneath a test scrutiny. That's where they kill you. And that's what I told you last week before I heard this attorney. This is just how it works. So I don't even know what to tell you about how I know this. This is due process. This is looking at what we're an occupied people and what the occupier does to defeat us and how they use our ignorance against us and how they set up a system of steps that will defeat you if you're not looking far enough into the future. And so part of the game, if you so will, part of the method is don't engage the game. Don't engage on their path. And you have to find a legitimate way to do that. And that's what I offer. If all these years of what I've been saying is kind of coalescing now, maybe for the first time for me to explain it, this, what I tell you are these techniques of shielding and protection and giving your place a way to, in this battle. Literally, this is a war, folks. You step back. You give yourself a place to step back. You just don't also just jump in any foxhole that you think is available. They may have a mine in the bottom of that. And so this is not like, well, I don't go into this war scenario in my brain. I'm just telling you verbally, this is what we're in. And this whole process has been set up for your takedown. If you're not intelligent enough to see and to really start working with your rights they're limited, but they're limited in a powerful way, if I can, that's the oxymoron about all this. The oxymoron is, the limitation is, they tell you you have to do something, yet they try to get you to not know they had something to do first. And you consent away, or waive away, or, what is it, what's the Fifth Amendment? You can testify against yourself, and that's what's going on here. We get to the little notes I have. You'll have to hear this. Again, if you find, it's called Florida Conference. Go in at 3:46. I'd ask maybe not to listen now, but just so you know, if you, that's what you're interested in, and not to hear me. But so he also mentions a court case, which I didn't copy down, but it's called Barber. And there was a discussion that says that these exceptions are requests that the assertion of a religious exemption or a religious exception for accommodation can be undercut. They can be undercut by evidence of insincerity or inconsistency with the religious belief stated. And then he goes through and explains how they do that. This is somewhat what you do at a traffic stop. It's all got the same methods. It's all attorneys, the bar association, the deceivers, those that occupy your life, have worked this all out. They're judges. They're all sitting there. That's why we sued the judges and the bar association in 2013. And they defaulted. They can't answer to all this stuff. If they do, they expose themselves. All right, so this is part of the insight. Do we win? No, because the system still would not move through with the law. There's no law you're going to rely on. What you do is you make a record for the others to see, and you embarrass these people at this point. I've been hoping for, beyond hope, that people come together understanding this, and we come in numbers to understand you can't be trusted, there's no confidence, they're actually criminals, they're felons, they're extortionists, all this other nonsense, they're treasonists. They're all this stuff, and it's not just because we say it. You've got the record you've made already down the line to prove it. I don't come to you today with a bunch of opinion. But that doesn't stop the onslaught that we're attacked by. And this is COVID. I told you this. COVID was going to be used to do this. So he explains a case called Barber that the sincerity claim in your affidavits or requests can be undercut. That's what those questions do. He explains that. And he explains it much deeper than I've covered. So that's why you need to hear it. He also explains a case called N.M. versus Hebrew Academy of Long Beach out of the Eastern District of New York in 2016. If you don't know, understand how far ahead that they've got it. This is actually not that far ahead, but it is far ahead. The precedent is used that the attorneys are using to set up how they're going to take you down. And so part of the, again, I want to say the method is putting the burden back on them and saying, well, you haven't crossed the line to start the race yet. You haven't fired the gun to start the race. I'm not going to talk anymore. Okay, so this is the game, is not getting in the game and making sure that they have done everything, and even that becomes, you can actually cause that to be conditioned. But it's not a frivolous conditioning. So moving here, the Hebrew Academy case, and NM was an anonymous school vaccine child, I suppose. And what they determined, and what he explains, is what people speak to that they're ignorant of, they should not really speak to, and what they're not speaking to that they should have been speaking to. And it's instructive. If nothing else, he's very instructive on how they take us down. And it's what I see, if you will, when I look about, and why I don't get involved with a lot of so-called groups, is because somebody sets a seed of thought, and that it's a cancerous seed, and it goes through, and it's all the wrong stuff. And when I start calling out, I'll be vilified, because if there's a psyop going on, that's, you got to take out the truth really fast, and it's why I don't engage in lots of groups with lots of stuff, because these seeds are pervasive. Failure seeds are pervasive. And I try not to engage all those. And I've been through around here long enough to watch them develop, so I knew how they started and how they've been contorted, that it focuses me on being objective. I don't have an opinion. I only have what I can find objectively. And they get you talking into your feelings and what you think, and you forget there's an objective basis that they're targeting. And the Barber case says that you can have your sincerity undercut. And they have all the questions about how they're going to do it. And the problem is you entered into answering the questions. You allowed them the right, the power to answer those questions. The affidavit I propose is one that challenges that they even have the right to do that. And when they ask before the fact of proving their necessity or their non-fraudulent exigency for asking, they have harmed you already. And so we don't, it's a different footing. But the perceived health concerns, when this case came through at the NM Hebrew Academy of Long Beach case, when the mothers and father described what the mother was doing relative to the vaccination, the court found that her answers were more health-driven than religiously based. And that's a serious defect, so serious it defeated that claim. And so you have to understand what they've done and what they're doing when you file the exception, they accept, and then you start answering questions. As I told you last week, those people, as I told my colleague, those people that had their exception forms accepted and then answered questions to accept a mitigation mask defeated the entirety of what they did. This lawyer comes this week in this Florida conference to tell us that, if you don't want to listen to the guy behind the woodshed. And I'm only talking, I know those of you that believe me, that have done the research, I'm not talking to any of you. I understand all this. I'm telling you that this because there's people that don't understand this guy behind the woodshed. Who is that guy behind the woodshed? But there's an insight, and I don't know where parts of it come from, but it's there. And I just want to point out, I've got a method. It protects, it's protective to an extent. It's not, that's why some people have told me, like I will say, and I'm embarrassed to even mention this word, I'm somewhat of a prophet. I really reject that. It's just something about that I understand something inside me that it's not. It's more of a method of having to deal with what we're off to. It gives me insights. I'm not without what I perceive to be providential inspiration. But the thing that I'm offering is a protective cover while you're trying to find cover. And so that's why I get real strict about what I'm saying. Like I said before, some people will take my words, extract some words, but if you do that, in my perception, and what I will say, I am the author of it, the intention of a line was, or a sentence, or a prayer for a paragraph, or a phrase, an insertion, it's tying in together with that and other things that it can't be necessarily extracted for other purposes. This, and when you hear this attorney talk, Jeff Childers talk, I hope you'll understand the specificity with which I'm asking you to proceed, the narrow path. This is a setup of deception that we're in. I've talked about this deception. We were told it was coming. Everything you're going to find is about a deception. You have to know yourself. There's another thing I read. It's even in one of the documents that might come up. We have to know ourselves. And the base, we're going to be on, it's like flying an airplane in clouds. You have to trust your instruments. You can't trust your feelings. And what are your instruments? It's not what you see as the storm outside. It has to be something you've established within you, a set of methods and parameters of how you're going to maintain control, even when you're in the fog of war, even when you're in the clouds. It takes a lot of concentration and a lot of effort. In fact, I was chuckling when I was on one of my night flight, instrument flights, training with an instructor who was showing me how to do it. We're in a Piper Cherokee, and ATC sent us to every storm cell there was in the area. We still don't figure out how that happened, but they didn't realize we didn't have radar. And they sent us on vectors, and we went through every cell. They caught it later. They said, oh, we didn't know you didn't have radar. Sorry. And I've never been in a ride like anything like it before. Watching three gauges at a time when my eyes were looking, every gauge was three gauges. It was like everything was rings. Having to deal with the radios, we had to split jobs. I'm in the right seat, not in the pilot in command. We're being jostled, just blasted everywhere in this little bitty plane, in the dark, in the clouds. And the instructor pilots take control. It was so much work. I grab the comms, and I'm dealing with ATC, and we're talking. And I don't even know how, in some regard, I don't know how we made it. The pilot, she did a great job. Really showed me what can happen. Maybe that was the lesson. But the point going in, if we didn't have a set of parameters that we had learned, that she didn't understand, that she stuck to, in the black, in the dark, in the clouds, with instruction to go into harm's way, if you will. We didn't know. What did we know? We didn't have the plan in that cockpit. I don't know what would have happened, actually. The training before we got there helped us get to our destination. And so these little lessons pop up. And I'm asking you to consider what I just said. This is where we are in a way. We have to go find the objective basis. That means we have to go to the black and white that's going to be recognized by these criminals, these deceivers. And we have to utilize that communication style. And we have to have that at least understood in practice, in rote, inside us, inside how we respond, in order to perceive how to continue in spite of a difficulty we're in, a challenge. And somehow that, as I have never thought about it this way before. I chuckled last night about that whole thing, getting on the ground, looking around. It was kind of neat. It was actually interesting too. When we got down, somehow everything had this clarity. It was crystal clear. I've never seen a crystal clear clarity at night. Better than that night after we got out of those clouds. What was a 20-minute flight ended up being over an hour. And we got through because we relied on the black and white we were told, our training, even though I was still learning, I went to training. That's all we could do. I didn't know what else to do. And this is what I'm asking. When I'm asking you to go read stuff and know the battlefield, that's what I'm talking about. And this, okay, getting to this quickly over back, to this guy, this attorney, Jeff Childers, explaining the setup for the takedown. Just what I've been explaining to you happens if you don't have this basis, if you don't confine yourself to that narrow path, if you have not charted your course on a destination you need to get to, whether or not you're going to get there. When it comes, the heat happens. You need to know that where you were going to, how you were getting there, your plan, and what is interfering with that plan so you can focus on the task at hand and not be driven off of the narrow path. And in this case, it's like, okay, I see the storm. I may not want to take that flight. And the problem is they're going to come and rain on your airport. I don't know why I'm talking about this guy. I didn't think about it until right now, but it's actually relevant. And so this is what the clauses leading into the affidavits I offer are. You didn't have the right to rain on my airport. May sound stupid, doesn't it? As I think about it, that sounds kind of dumb. But that's what you're doing. No, you didn't have the right to rain on my airport. And until you show me that you have the right to rain on my airport and that I have to fly in your turbulent air, I'm staying on the ground. I'm not going to start my aircraft. I'm not going to taxi. I'm not going to do a thing. I'm not going to file a plan. And so this attorney essentially says, tells you the setup. Now, I went to his website. I want to make a caveat, even against the attorney. Always be careful. He likes to write. And when you get in past the burden, if they shift the burden by saying, okay, we've complied, and it's legitimate compliance, and you have to speak, he offers a legitimate statement to make. I wouldn't use the one that's on his website total because it's on and on. He talks on and on and on. My thought here is the Fifth Amendment is your friend. You can convict yourself in how much you say. You need to say only what you need to say. And he offers in the video really the nutshell answer that I think I would prefer that you consider better. He says, don't tell how much you're religious. Show your religious belief. You tell how religious you are. You don't show the religion. You don't try to show off as someone in a religion with your conscientious objection. You don't talk about it. You just declare it. In his example, he says, and this is probably the short form that I think I would agree with, for those that were conducive, those that are atheists, you have to go through the objective, conscientious objection. I noticed that in doing some UK discussion, a UK reading of law, they offer that for them, and I don't remember now what the link is, a totally different study, but they offer this, an atheist has this right to say this as well. So those of you that are non-believers, you still fall underneath this idea, but for someone who believes in God and Christian, he offers this statement as an example that all he would say, and this is what I wrote down, that your statement would be not what I see on his page after paragraph after page of stuff of explaining how telling the religious context that you're standing in. is just to make your statement and stand in the shortest amount of words, and I think this fits for it fairly well, barring any further consideration. He offers to say, upon the question of what is, you know, your the base, the, how do you describe that your sincerity, you would simply say, God created the universe, and that something broke, and sin and death came into the world, and God sent his only begotten Son, so that we could be saved, and if we have faith and trust in him, we live forever. Period. And I like that statement relative to what you have to do on the forms. It's certainly what I've said in the beginning, challenging whether in the first affidavit, which is really the second we wrote, is it says that the business or the state purports to be able to judge the word of God is a violation. And if you understand what he said before, you don't talk about your health matters when you're talking about religious matters. You tell of your religious sincerity, and you don't say much. Then you start to realize how you've been set up and how our feelings have been brought more to bear, like we have to bear our souls. And we forget that Fifth Amendment problem of being able to incriminate yourself. Everything you can, you say, can and will be used in a court of law against you. We don't think of us being criminals in this capacity, but I've told you, we're all enemy combatants. And people don't appreciate this. So, what I've been offering is you stand before the line, the firing gun didn't even get off in the race. You can't even, today's example was, well, I see a storm overhead. I'm not going to file a flight plan. Until your storm clears, until you've shown justification that I have to fly in it, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say a thing. I'm going to keep that, like I said last week, I'm going to keep that ball on your side of the fence. You got a job to do, not me. And not just that, you got like a couple of jobs to do. And now we get from an attorney the difficulties that people have and a court case that says, you talk in the wrong way, you'll be found out to have not been sincere in your religious belief relative to what you're asking, you're demanding now, you've asked now. Your show was required and you didn't give it. And so, you back to the point. What's demanded of you? Do not speak beyond what you need to or when you need to. I was glad to hear this. I didn't get a chance to get to it, but this attorney explains in a legal capacity, in a professional capacity, what he's up against. If you want to get into the fact of your discussion, I said, do not answer mitigation. Do not answer about mass. Do not answer about what should you do with for anything as far as the health side. You speak directly in the context of your religious belief. And you can't show and confess anything outside of that, otherwise it'll be used against you. And so I just want to pause to me. I mean, as I say that, there's just a calm that comes over me. I wish people would really do that. And we don't. We want to say so much. And I'm learning it's really saying so little, if you even have to say. And then sometimes it gets beyond into saying enough. It's like this thing where I told you, you better, if you have no clue when you're dealing with a cop, you better remain silent. Everything you can, you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. But at some point, I've realized, and I'm not asking anybody to think to say any more than nothing. I'm saying I've realized when I found the court cases that say the only thing that you can bring, and experience this in court, the only thing you can bring before the court is the dynamic, the questions that were asked at the point of first contact. And the cop was in your face at that time, that moment, before the arrest or the citation. What was said there? I realized, if you don't know, you better remain silent. If you can gain a knowledge and you can keep your tongue and keep it on the narrow path, there is a ton to develop relative to the culpability of the officer, the lack of actual probable cause, the lack of jurisdiction, you can get that set up on the record, and then you get to go into court if it goes that far, if your paperwork hasn't avoided the jurisdiction through some set-aside or through some pre-plea remedy and avoidance, then you get to put the cop on the stand and crucify him with what he said or didn't say because you knew what the standards were going in at the point of first contact. Okay, so there's a whole methodology behind what I'm talking about that people are just not aware of. that this is these are being used against us. So I guess I want to pause here and move on. It's very important for you to understand we are in, when I said hand-to-hand combat, this is no joke. These people are well trained at what they do. They set up the battlefield and set up the moves before you got there. But one of my techniques and methods is to make sure that I don't have to even engage in the fight. And only do I start bringing up things if I am shown I have to. That's just a burden view, a burden shifting thing. If I am engaged, I look way forward and I say, what are going to be the things I'm going to need to defeat this adversary? Not in battle, physical battle, necessarily. Besides, if I try, I'm going to get shot if it's in the street and physical. But when I get into the forum that's going to impose itself upon me. And then my point there is once if you set it up right, you can also avoid. And this is where the administrative part comes back in as well, because if you maintain that there's an administrative question going on, it's not ripe for the court. In fact, I think one of the cases this attorney mentions, it was actually the case was not ready for the court because there was the employer hadn't filed a final decision on the affidavit. That tells you that's an administrative proceeding. And so, qualifying myself just to you, and you can take my word for it or not, you can go continue challenging what I'm saying in trying to making sure I'm qualifying myself to what I tell you. This attorney confirmed everything I've been telling you inside the more deep structures and what's going on and kind of if you know how to read between the lines, the implication where a court says it's the matter was not ripe, ready for the judicial court, you realize that has to be that it's still in the employer decision is a so-called considered administrative. How that's actually administrative, I don't know in a judicial review, but this is how they've done this. So just accept that they view it as an administrative position. And that case was not determined administrative, disposed administratively. It was not ready or ripe, what they call ripe for judicial review. That's exactly what I've been telling you how to run against an agency. It's what I've done, if you will, with the Forest Service back in 2010, and I wrote my 21-page cease and desist, all as a show cause, and they failed, and they defaulted. We took it as a default, as a record of decision, and 21 pages of stuff. It was all law. I didn't make up anything. All copy and paste stuff. They had a multiple choice to choose. They failed. We took it as a record decision that they had no jurisdiction. Well, guess what? When they didn't make, and here's the other thing about that. We relied on the fact of the default. They can't move until they dispose of that. And so until the regime, the current federal regime came back into play, we had 10 years of quiet, roughly 10 years of quiet. Now they're coming at us again, and I'm having to up my game. I'm having to bring up the next step, and we're using that. The point is that this all becomes an administrative matter because we're dealing with an agency that hasn't finally disposed. At that point, what we're also protecting against, they can't get us into court. Now, if they tried, the paperwork there is a pre-plea remedy and avoidance. You don't have a jurisdiction. This matter's not ripe for the judicial court of any jurisdiction, whether you're Article 1, 4, or 3. Anyway, on and on and on. So here's the point about it. You're making a record. You're not just giving in. You're not giving in, breaking a record up front of that you're going to resist and then give in right after they go ahead and you think they're handing you something with accepting your paperwork. No, that's the setup to drag you through the mud to do what he says the Barber case does. Well, these people get to interrogate you and to see if they can find the smallest, shreddest little thing to interfere with what you claim is insincerity to show that you're insincere in your belief. That is speaking to incriminate yourself. And the Fifth Amendment says you better not because it can and will be used against you. Okay, so repeat it again. It's so important. I don't know what to say. I start to stutter because this is how simple the deceit is. This is how simple we're set up as people. And this is how simple a society has allowed itself to be taken down. And how it's so obvious. The hypocrisy of people claiming they're a free people, The hypocrisy of people claiming they have rights and liberties. The hypocrisy that goes on and the arrogance of that type of people. Am I saying all of you, am I arrogant to tell you all that? Well, no, I'm not. I'm telling you there's a truth that we are suffering under and we better fix that. I offer some techniques, some insights to offer us to do that. Very few people pick it up. Very few people pick it up correctly. And yet I'll, over time, I'll find the evidence that I can say that. I can say it was correct to tell people to do certain things in certain ways. Maybe not do certain things at all, like I said, until you have to. The challenge is put on the other side where they have the burden. Go look for it, like a plaintiff. A plaintiff has to create the facts in evidence, evidentiary facts, to create the right to be a plaintiff. And that has like four or five different elements, maybe six. It depends on what your suit is. You don't do that, you don't have a suit. You haven't crossed the threshold. You're not worthy of a court case. And so this is all the things, it's in my mind, that maybe never comes out. It's the standards by which I've read need to be met. This attorney comes through and says, yeah, you're going to be set up, and you're going to fill out those forms, and they're set up to take you down. They're set up to allow them to take you down. And what I find fascinating, I didn't know anything about the Barber case. I didn't know anything about the case out of the New York, Eastern District of New York. But the method I have seen has to happen in order to protect us, to keep the burdens in the right place once you find it. Those savings clauses, those black and white impositions of duty. Those are what I use that, interestingly, if it's interesting at all, if not going to be the fact of it, still stand as correct, even though I don't know cases are out there that would have instructed us to do that. And what I'm saying that for to you, and those of you that think about this and apply it, that's how far ahead you have to be in your understanding, the accurate understanding of what has to happen. When you get in the narrow path and you get onto the, you know your material, you're going to have to be in line with court cases that are, again, correct court cases. This is a brutal, brutal fight as well. Picking apart your mother's and father's earnest statements. And this is really just an equity consideration as well. You have to come with clean hands. And so you're the other side, whoever the side is of the other side, in whatever burden they have the right to pick your bones. And you have to have enough knowledge to not let them. And if they do, you do have to answer. You answer where you have to answer. It's on the point of your contention. Again, as he says, don't talk about health matters at all, period. He doesn't even like anybody going on the medical side because it's so constrained on what you can, are allowed. He said if you go do the religious, you have to state what the religious belief is. So I've said this like a number of times. I'm way long on what I was going to say about it. But when I was pointed out that this attorney is showing you that people are losing because of the very things I'm telling you to avoid doing, that rises way up on what I do behind the woodshed for you all that, again, you can do behind a woodshed as we figuratively speak what the woodshed in one context could be. You taking them behind the woodshed. You don't be taken behind the woodshed by them. So I think I get real calm. I feel it inside. I'm telling you, if you are listening to what I'm saying and you proceed the way I'm saying, you're going to be so much farther ahead and the workload is so much less. Now you just have to see whether or not they've met the burden. Now you just have to see when they answer the question, oh, that I'm only going to answer in this little area. Like I said, he offered a nice little nutshell answer right there. I don't know why you'd have to go beyond that one. Because in my mind, it brought up, well, how are you able to question God's word, what I just said? There's nothing more for me to say. So I don't understand why the lawyer writes so many pages on his website, so many words and what amounts to lots of pages. But that's for you to decide. I'm going to eventually, in the broadcast, to give you that link. You can go discern for yourself what you need to do relative to what he actually says in the conference. you can then get the links to, for the affidavit I've written, and I'm going to go back and now use his information to see and compare it. What have I done? See, it's new information. We all, again, I'm always checking. You always have to check yourself. Are you accurate? Are you on point? Are you really on the, did you stick your little toe off the surfboard in the shark-infested waters that you're surfing that tsunami in? This is the environment that we're finding ourselves, because we weren't the people that kept the republic. We allowed all these occupiers and occupational ideas, occupations, into our country. The Bar Association is one of the branches of government, if you haven't figured it out. It's a private concern that's running a global operation of deceit, essentially. And anybody who, I know there's in the RLM chat and in history, in my history with people through RLM and even out just outside and all those other things, meeting, going through, I know you all that have done this and have stopped, and we all got beat up. And I, long years ago, I took a different tack to try and figure this out. I don't know that it means we win in necessarily outright, but I can just tell you applying what I'm doing is protective, at least in the first part, and it offers at least a stalemate. In other words, you're not going to jail at the second part. You're not having stuff stolen. Is it like a traffic ticket that I can run the patent right of ingress and egress, a pertinent that patent that was issued by the government as an obligation against the state? And I put that as a collateral attack through injunction against the citation in the hearing, and then all of a sudden everything goes crickets, and then you don't hear anything forever? At this point, I'll take it as a win, especially with people that I might help that don't know more. They didn't even know that when I told them. And so this is not a game of justice. This is how far they can get away with injustice. How far they're going to be able to give you your exactions of every kind and no other. What did I just say? I just told you what your civil rights are. Exactions of every kind and no other. Title 42, Section 1981. Exactions is extortions. And that's not just extortions. That was bad enough. It's wrongful extortions. I almost don't even know if I've got my head around that one. How do you have a remedy against the right of wrongful extortions in a sovereign citizen? But there are ways. And they happen to be in the grant law, in the things that were obligations. You find the obligations and duties of government officials. You can only find that in the black and white that's acknowledged. And then you have to be keen to be able to protect against the attorneys that will argue that that doesn't exist. Or the agency people who go to the attorneys to say the same thing. Boy, I'm so off my mark here. But this is all the war. And we're being played, the world of people is played the same way, which is astonishing to me as well. All the different jurisdictions are being played the same way. How they get there that we are being played tells you that there's been a prior plan. The deception was written inside the system before it was implemented. Partly why I tell you, don't use government forms. How many times have you heard me say that? How many times have I mentioned about being a mineral estate grantee and I don't do it because I fill out the bookstore forms they hand us? And a couple times I've explained to you, in particular for the state of California, the BLM form was found to be inadequate under state law, and state law drives the vesting of the private property mineral estate to the entryman. And so what does that mean? Well, you're stuck. That's what I say about forms. You got to be real careful. I don't use any government forms. I look at them. The black and white form in the habeas and the statute I have to follow, but it's not a form. It's an instruction. But forms that are made out for you, they may not meet the law. And I saw very quickly this exception form for the state, even it was the state itself, was inadequate because it loads you into agreeing they have power to make that question. As I just looked up and saw, I thought my name was under duress there for a few years. Under duress is not enough. That's the other interesting problem. And so again, I can't talk through the chat, but I see Bam Van Meter. Thank you. You know, these comments are all sitting there. I know you have all, everyone has their thoughts. There's a lot to understand. I stopped relying on, you can make the claim, but you have to present why, and it has to be sufficient. It's kind of like what they're doing with these exceptions. you can reserve your rights, but if you're talking in something that you've already given up your rights, there's no rights to reserve. You got to be really, really, really careful of what's going on. And yes, it's a brain drain, and yes, it's a lot of work, and yes, it's not nice, but we're not in a peaceful world. The peace and settlement was stripped from this place, and we didn't keep it, and the sheriffs aren't keeping it. In fact, part of my delay on writing my complaint for to protect ourselves this time is really addressing the sheriff's reluctance to actually enforce crime. This document that I'm going to be, we just finally did the first read through for it, finally, and boy, is it a long time coming, is partly based in trying and showing that there's, in no uncertain terms, no civil remedy for us to rely on that is puts the whole of the matter into the hands of the sheriff to resolve. Which then I say has to go to the prosecutor, which then I show in the state, they have to prosecute or they come into liability. Even though a prosecutor is, I would say, almost absolutely immune from anything they decide. And that almost is very important. Upon what conceptualization would the prosecutor not be immune in a totality of immunity? Happens to be on one little court case I found, whether or not, and this is again the assertion of fraud, like I do all the time, it's in a different word, whether or not the failure to prosecute, a decision to not prosecute, or the decision about it not being in the public interest, or whatever they decide to put down there that they thought was their protective mechanism, is whether or not that was honest or not, whether it was dishonest. If it was dishonest, you can travel in through that little bitty mouse hole and you can attack it. We are doing that. How much study did that take to find for us? I can't even tell you the hours. What is this all about? Showing other people that are going to read this document eventually, but this is how they're taking you down. This is what they're supposed to do, and are they going to do it? Is that a remedy? No, it's just I'm looking at a bunch of people in a society that don't understand all this. Because if we did, we wouldn't allow it to happen to us. Now I'm starting to feel a little uptight. I was feeling calm before, because I can tell if you just understood this process, then it would give you some shielding, and people are being still run down. Then we get back to my tabs. We completely go in a different way, some almost frivolous thing, back into the real important stuff again, and happens to be moving into now the day and what comes on and goes on in this country. Apparently this is more important than anything else. But for me, it shows the stupidity of politicians, if we didn't know that, and don't laugh, those of you that don't stand as the choir, don't laugh too much, and don't spit into your coffee on that. I understand all that. But the point is the short-sightedness, the ignorance that represents us. The internalization of foreign impositions starts to happen. The agendas that we may not see that are being advanced through what would seem to be normal, who cares, or, oh yeah, that makes sense, or whatever. The reasoning that's not rational. Even the hypocrisies that come on when you see who does this stuff relative to what they eventually want, if we go as a class understanding. Let's say for here, it's a Democrat would be so-called progressive, is totally wrapped up in the green religion, totally promoting it, totally foreigners to what is the norm of United States of America relative to everything you know, which is property and rights and due process. Again, for even as much as that's been whittled all down to just due process. And then they use that due process against you. Is really fascinating to be able to understand. But Washington lawmaker co-sponsors bill to make daylight saving time permanent. Now, how much more frivolous in these times, if these times are so important, is this? Well, if you look at the surface, it might be kind of frivolous. It might be an annoyance. It might be a nuisance. But someone steps forward right at the time, all right, all this is timed, to make a bill to daylight saving time. Well, I looked at that. I just said, okay, here we go again, the stupidity of these titles and these discussions. How are you going to save daylight? What miracle device are you using to save daylight? What is going on, and is that really true, that's all we want to do? It's not for saving daylight anyway. That's the hypocrisy. It was supposed to be said to be able to save energy. which is now the underlying secret little passage that we go through as we understand when Greta wants, Greta might get, because you're not understanding the condition. Washington lawmaker, Washington, you have to understand, I think this was the state. Washington is a blue, forever green. The first imposition of COVID fraud 19, the place the plane landed, that they started the march across the republic, stomping the republic into the grass. Now mud. How is a bill going to save daylight? And this is the problem I have with all this, these things. They want to refer to science, and they forget that we have a solar system, and we are on an Earth, and it has an orientation, and there's something out there like a sun. That these green progressive type ideas and ideals, which are not at all, they're just a color. They're just showing you something, and it's just a way to market. It's a religion as well. Are totally outside of any realm of reality. How does a bill save daylight, first of all? Well, you're saying, well, it may not matter. Okay, well, fine. How does it do that? It doesn't, right? It doesn't do that. It's kind of like, I think it's called a ripple effect in a video, a nonlinear video editor. You have the film, if you will, the data stream for the images and frames underneath, and you're simply moving a window over the top of the frames you want. In other words, you can actually move this thing up and down inside your video. It's kind of a neat tool. And you just move this frame over what part of the data timing stream, time code you want. It's all there, except you're just looking at a little window. Daylight saving time, as they tried to mandate it, actually just moves the window forward or back relative to what? Reality. Now, these green progressives saying that the Earth and Gaia is also important. Well, Gaia, if Gaia has anything, is Gaia-centric, has already determined she wants to be laid back a little bit, 23 degrees, and go around a sun that these also green religious people don't believe is out there. Remember, anthropomorphic is human-caused problems. There is no reality. It's made up. Now, I would think that if they were so powerful, and they were really on point, and they were scientific, they would order that Gaia should stand itself up off of 23 degrees and put itself more oriented directly in parallel with the orbits or the poles of the sun. In other words, we would actually save time. We'd actually gain the time that we're not saving. Or they could just move from Washington and move down to the equator, where it's relatively the same, and you find out very quickly there's no time to save. It's either on or it's off. And I'm going through this thought. It's really a waste of time. We would be arguing this thing until we were dead, and they would still not be convinced. Oh, that the thought that occurred to me, the Gary L. and Gigi's Wu, and I haven't heard from either one. I hope they're okay. I think I just flashed on it. They said something about the Indian native, the native people, rationalized it. It's like a white man moving a sheet that's too short, pulling it to the end of the bed on the bottom or pulling it back up to the top and attempting to cover nature. Going back. So this is like the ripple, I guess, looking over the frame. You can't legislate nature. You aren't going to save time. You have no basis for the law, but they're going to make laws. That's what these people do. They actually don't. They make policy, and they'll tell you that. If you look really carefully, they tell you it's just policy. All this is just administrative policy. Your entire government is administrative policy. Washington lawmaker co-sponsors bill. Well, okay, well, what happened? You also had a Republican there. So these people are as stupid as the Democrats, or they're in league, and they're all pushing the same agenda. What would that agenda be? Well, I'm not going to even read more of that story. Going to move on. So I went right on the same page, the KHOU website, and thank you for the links on some of this stuff this week. No daylight, right on the same bottom of that page, no daylight saving time does not significantly save electricity in the U.S. So what the reasoning was is they would save power. When they started to study this shift, because nature is what it is, you don't change nature, and you certainly don't account for man's nature in response. They found out in one of the studies that, in fact, it doesn't reduce power. It actually increases it, because in the shifting of the time, they were only focused on the light, You know, the sun wasn't good enough. I guess we have artificial light. I don't know how they're powering those lights, so, but that's okay. The green religion has all the answers. It's utopia, remember? It's magic. The lights that they said would not be on because of the shift was well overcompensated by the increased use of air conditioners and heating, to the point that one of the studies found something like a $9 million cost increase to people. I think it was in Illinois, someplace. You could read it. And so reality starts to show up that nature is what it is. We're just taking and moving this useless legislation around. All it is really a convenience item. What you find out is the power was another lie, a deception to bring in a policy. But what does increasing power do in the new steps that we see? If it actually increased the power because you're having to use high drainage air conditioning or electricity, and now they have it that you can't produce carbon in order to get it, and you're going to have to use very expensive so-called green technology that's more dirty when you get into the production side of this and the failures than even nuclear, and greater land masses. They actually explain we're going to have open spaces and we're going to fill them in with all this green technology for power. What is that going to do to your future generations here when you are all of a sudden thinking that in certain spots, I'm sure, on the globe, your power usage actually went up at a time they're saying you have to go austere and it's going to be more expensive for the times you need it. Sounds like a setup for the takedown that was started way decades ago. And this is how they say science, it's epidemiology. It's just data is science now. It's risk management. It's not science. There's nobody looking at reality. And for some reason, those scientists that step up and say that, hey, you're not looking, here's the reality, they get what? They get whacked. And the rest of society is okay with that. I say that generally. I get always these people, I don't say that. Okay, we're the choir. We're coming down. We're now not 30%. There's now 26% of us that are not vaccinated and not going to get it. So our numbers are dwindling. And I say, hopefully we're going to have maybe 15% left that we can actually be an example. But we get into reality. What are we talking about here this last time? The big COP26. What they're doing, instituting what Greta didn't want, what COVID brought in, what brought us to our knees, and now they're reinstituting this as a unified front and approach now in the news. This is what it's always been about. And so upon this frivolous thing, it seems to me, daylight saving time, I looked underneath the covers, and oh, I see something I should have never seen. But it's something that they want to do to us over future and time. It's implementing the process. If you're going to find out you're going to have, in this time shift, you're going to have an increase in these costs, and that's the very thing they want to diminish in you. They want to take away your energy and the ability to get energy. And they do it also, really, on the top of that is the financial burdens, which you see the escalating price on top of the supposed imposition of new technology that just costs a lot of money. The leverage funding comes in to take all the taxes from your property or your sales prices or whatever the use is that you're doing. It's all set up by what? Those attorneys again. They know the future because they know what's going to happen with where people are going to be forced, and they know you better than yourself, and so they exploit that. How often have I been talking about that? How long have I been talking about that? Protocols of the Elders of Zion will tell you that there's people out there that know you over history, folks, at least by the late 1800s. They know you better than yourself, and they can guide you like you have a ring in your nose, despite your vociferations about how free and knowledgeable and critically thinking and intelligent you are. They know you better. That seeing that just about destroyed me inside one time. I told you about this. But I've risen out. It's like literally like the phoenix. You come, you say, wow, look, there's an exception to their knowledge. There is an exception to their power. And it's in me. And then you come, hopefully, you come to the humility that it's not, you aren't capable on your own. You're going to really, you definitely need some outside, if you will, inside help. And there's a special communication that starts to develop. And I can't even tell you how to describe it. It's like indescribable. But this is what they're bringing up, deception. Like I said, the demons of Davos, I called it last week. That's what's coming onto the world. I told you years ago it was coming. It was said to be coming. I can't say that it was said there to be coming, that it's coming. That is what's coming. I think this is a repeat until we get to the ultimate one. There's a pretty interesting insight in a book that were supposedly written 2,000 years ago, or even its conglomeration, that I do read for its potential instruction if I don't fully understand it. That's the faith part, I think, as well. Anybody that's in a religion, not the religious institutions, I'm talking on your spiritual side, I think you almost have to believe in that part. There's stuff outside of us that we can't give answers to that allow us to see things that just are gifts. If you said blessings, some people say. And I would partly agree with that. What else would you have? Grace, if you will. That there is an insight that comes to you when you start to think a little bit clearer and you don't engage this, and not just to say, oh, this is stupid. No, really start understanding the devil is in the details and how long that devil has been speaking in the details and who has been speaking through those, for and about and supporting those details. Now, I want to now transition into the Ice Age Farmer website. Another, I think this was another link I got from somebody. These all tied together as well, in the continuum of what's going on and what we're facing. And I'm saying this because I told you COVID is being used as the trigger to bring all this right on us. We're down, folks. We're on our knees, if you will, and we're staying there. And no one's understanding the deception built in that's going to keep us there and keep us in defeat if we don't understand, like, as if the minimums of what I'm talking about. But Ice Age Farmer has a website and wrote and had a video, and I'm going to defer to him to the extent that this time I believe he is seeing his vocabulary is a lot more consistent. It's a lot more future-looking, interactive with what's going on. And so he says a very only 15 minutes or so of things on an email, but his title to this was Lancet's. This is the medical journal now, you have to understand. This is the tie-in that goes on. Lancet's Great Transition for Planetary Health. Eat Z-Bugs. So that's the title of this. And he goes through and explains something has happened in the COP26. And he brings up immediately Prince Charles. And so this is one of those, you have to understand that now the British connection going on here, what that is, what's going on. There's a lot behind all this. I don't want to get too into conspiracy stuff. You just go find the connections. I'm talking historic connections. Why this guy even has a say? He's only a prince in waiting. But planetary health, not your health, understand. And this is what Ice Age Farmer does this time. Sometimes I'm a little hesitant to give off other people's information. It starts to lead in. I think he does a good job this time. I'll go ahead and defer whatever I would have to say to what he points out. He goes through some documents. You can get them. I have a couple I've left on for the blogcaster. Better to get them from his website and look through them. And he starts to point out and question for you things you need to be questioning. And you need to see this and need to question. You need to dive into the documents. And I get nauseous when I read this stuff. But you, too, have to suffer this in order to see how these people do what they do. So Prince Charles is here, and I point him out in this because Prince Charles comes out again. And he comes out and says a very important thing, which then led into some links I got before about what he speaks to in a style. He's a military. See, we're back to military style. Why, if this is so good? But this shows you the inside of what's going on. That Ice Age Farmer, and I don't know what was his name. It might be Christian. Yeah, there it is, Christian. Explains this to us. He points this out, his research. I want to give him all the credit for finding out these documents. It takes a little bit of time. He does an analysis in the terminology and questioning that I think is valid to hear. That should be, if you've never heard this stuff before, take that as a start, what he's offering, because it's today. It's what's going on right now. It's the thing they're moving right now to move on you, and as I've so told you before, it's been put inside the legislation, inside the system, inside the judiciary, inside the agencies, inside how they're going to respond. That is what you see as the response in COVID. It's just in the other areas of your life. What people are doing in the world to come and literally destroy you, putting in their belief system, He references the universities. I've told you the university system is involved in this, and in most states, I've understood, the universities are an agency of the state. This is where they teach people how to do this trespass, this treason upon us. It's partly in the background of what we sued in 2013. The legal universities are the same. A hundred or so universities tying on to a São Paulo agreement out of Brazil. You see the global nature of this. You need to see the words. Be careful not to be, I would caution you to be careful. Don't get lost in what they're saying and all the warm and fuzzy stuff. If you get to the São Paulo website, I think a human rights or something website, you're going to see all the subject matter areas, how they puff them up. But if you look inside any one of those pictures, I don't even think I gave you the list. I don't even want to even promote this stuff. If you understand what they're doing, you'll see all the areas of life they're infecting and all of the things that they're doing and mistreating that are coming in order to affect you. If you think that you don't have what's going on here, it's already in the system. It just needs to be implemented. That I want to also give you, I'm giving you the link to the video on YouTube still. I guess it's still up. And I want to then also look at something that he said. Remember I said great transition. They've moved their terminology. It used to be, they're not changing. It's just a new word to promote. The transformation is now transition of society for planetary health. It's not for your health. If you look carefully, humans, if you will, the animal called the human is the problem. And they make it sound like they're going to help the human, but you have to understand when they're thinking like, what was it, the COP as well, that Bill Gates used in his formula at the TED Talk, if any of you have seen that. He talks about the one variable that we have we can control is the amount of people which would bring down this carbon, which is all about another fraud, bring down the carbon. That would help the planet. This is the planetary health, getting rid of you. So in other words, looking at what they're doing that you're causing and fixing that in you will fix the planetary health. And that's good for you, if that even means your death. And if you start understanding the insidiousness of this type of thought, you'll also realize what the attorney was telling people about their religious exemptions and getting engaged with a conversation and questions. Remember, you don't have control over the air. The communication is not our power here in this place. In part, you can see that behind the woodshed. I mean, just no power to get out. There's no, it's a medium that is based in the receiver. I can transmit, but I have to have a receiver that wants to receive. And so if it's not there, it's just dead air. And I'm not in control of that. And you're going to find out the people that support this strife are in league with that. That's why they have the control. That's why you're finding that the media is controlled. But within that, like no different than the Matrix in the sewers, we have to run and find places to communicate that overriding system doesn't have as much control over and can only send out bots to seek us out if we have a signal that they can track. And partly why I'm so more sensitive even more to just jumping onto groups and social networks and all that. I've been asked to get on Telegram. I took another look at it. That's not going to fly for me, folks. Shouldn't fly for anybody when you look at the underneaths of that. Anyway, this is a place that they can control, and I'm going to hopefully get to some things. It's only about 5 tabs up. Well, this is already set up for us. I've talked about it before, but now we have a document that somebody that's rising, a military group that's rising in the world, I told you that they would, is now we're finding documents, and thank you to those people that found that. But let me move into this great transition. University leaders call for great transition and social of society for planetary health. This is the connection I told you to the university system. That is the university training the new soldiers to implement this against you. If you're not looking at that problem and the effect they have when they get into the system, the governmental systems are making decisions, the seats of decisions I talk about, and don't understand the problem, maybe not right now for you, but in a very short time, when they get voted in or they can't get voted out, they're already there, in systems where the Bar Association is also advising them as the direction and it's a closed system that you don't even understand, you're not appreciating this little link Ice Age Foreign Christian brings up and the connection, the question that he's actually bringing. I don't know if he's aware of this, but I wanted you to be aware of it. I really wish most of us were with this mind. We're working together so we can add on to what's going on to show the complexity and the comprehensive nature of our occupation, of the occupations against us, and where we might be able to work to stop them. And a lot of them is saying no, but in very particular ways. Like, no, I don't have to speak until you show me you have the right to rain on my parade. And then, going back to this, university leaders call for great transition. Who are they? They're influential, folks. They're training the soldiers of what's going on. And they're all referring to a medical journal here, and everybody's jumping on it, the bandwagon. You have to have some integrated thought in order to do this. And the Lancet, remember, has been shown to be no good as far as this COVID, putting out wrong information. You also then understand that most of these publication centers, these hubs, are propaganda centers. So this is all tying it in. This is a medical thing. Now they're talking about planetary health. What is a medical journal that we would think for people? What does that have to do with talking about planetary health anyway? But what is this planetary health? What is that? Who knows that? And you'll find nobody knows, essentially. So university leaders and advocacy organizations signed onto a document that calls for a great transition of society that will support a more equitable and resilient post-pandemic world. There's a lot to talk about. As I read this, there's just so much. I could spend hours looking through these paragraphs and going up and down all the things that are involved here. I need to cut this short. I really have to be careful not to read down even further. The point is, university leaders, advocacy organizations signed on to a document. Who cares? What's this document? But this is what they use to motivate them. That's to support equitable. By whose equity? Where's their title, folks? If you get into equity, you're dealing with title and properties. They're saying you have no property, so someone must own it. Resilient. What the heck is that? Well, the resilience against encroachment of their invasion and occupation. That's what that means. In a post-pandemic world, why reference pandemic? And are you predicting an end? Because I don't see any policy saying there's an end to this thing. How are you able to present a post-pandemic world? Unless you're in control of it. A plan, folks. And this we get the planetary health diet all coming together. Will it save lives and planet Earth? A question. They don't even know, but they refer to this Lancet medical journal that starts out and sets the stage for all this. A medical journal talking about planetary health means that they've never been interested in your health. No, their focus is on things sustainable and making Gaia resilient against you. And food is the single strongest lever to optimize human health and environmental sustainability on Earth. Is what I think Christian points out, and why I encourage you to read it. He does a good job this time in really starting encapsulating the coherency of this attack. He shows, and we would know, and we've seen this in history, food, they understand. These people that are doing this to you know that food is the lever. But what did I tell you was going on in the last few weeks of broadcast? They're closing the door to the castle that they got you kept in. And they're raising the bridge on the moat. You're not getting supplies. And this is where we get into that supply chain nonsense that popped up. And this other thing I'm going to talk about here, we get there regarding what they're doing to the supplies. And we might see something inside of there, underneath the skin, that would be absolutely understandable relative to a plan. Why are you seeing the so-called supply chain interference? It's not obvious. The people who are talking within people with that understand, they see when they're interacting with those places and those people, they see that there's a deception going on. But food is the strongest lever. Christian, an Ice Age farmer, identifies that's what they're attacking. It's what he's about, is food and your production of it and all that. So this is, they're talking now, they say transition, but what they get to here for planetary health is radical transformation of our current global food system. That's a control underneath prosperity, which is austerity to you, and in getting you to do what? What have we talked about? And what did the subtitle of that, of his webpage say? Eat Z bugs, folks. They even talk about being red meat. They got, this is a problem, you know, this ranching and beef and all this and chickens and all that stuff. They want a radical transformation. Talked about a transition in the other story, but actually underpinning it is the same transformation of your society that they have been doing now for decades. It's already written in the law. It's almost like give it up here, folks. If I had to look at this and not have another thought, I'd say I'd throw my hands up. Because people are just not understanding what's going on and what has gone on. And yet I keep telling you there's still some hope. We could find the saving clauses. We cannot step in the pile of poo before we point it out and say, but that was your job not to put that poo there, so I don't have to step in it. Till you show me why I have to step in it. That's the table they've laid for us, and we're going to a banquet, it seems, in this world, and in particular the United States. But they come back down here and they talk about planetary health diet relative to reducing greenhouse gas emissions in an effort to combat climate change. So planetary health happens to do with the climate. Oh, you climate denier, which is going to be, again, it's going to come back. Well, no, I don't deny the climate. Is there an atmosphere that you breathe? Do you see a sun? Oh, that now they put their fingers up as a cross. They can't see the sun. Well, if you're in an atmosphere and you see the sun, I can't be denying the climate. You're a lunatic. Those of you that claim that there's climate deniers, how stupid. But that's what they get over on us, and nobody I know seems to know how to answer to that and place the problem, the onus, back on the other, on the alleger, you know, the defamer. So planetary health has to do with helping the planet, making itself. Like, there's somebody out there that knows how to do that. The mind of man has that capacity. It's bunk, folks. It just can't happen. Now, we can stop conflating pollution. We can start dealing and taking more responsibility for our pollution. How to deal with that? That I would absolutely. Why would we want to live in a mess? Why would we want to mess in our own pen? Well, so people seem to do that. Animals seem to not want to unless we force that on them. So why are we allowing the conflation of pollution? What are we doing in order to reduce it? And there's been great strides in that, in what's going on there. You notice no one seems to talk about that because it's not about pollution anymore. It's using pollution as a bad, you know, you're bad for having it. And that now gives us the right to do everything because you are irresponsible. And those people are the same ones making as much pollution or more, as we found out in the jets and all that other stuff. Okay, so university, what they want planetary health is your diet. It's to eat bugs. That's what part of what Christian's AgeFarmer.com's article is about. And then we go on and move to this story relative to, we talked about the pandemic, post-COVID. How do they know, folks? Who's in the plan of this? In other words, is proving it's not real. It is a plan, just in that admission. Another statement here, avoiding a climate lockdown. And so there's a lot of linkage over to what they did in COVID, as I told you there was. And this report goes on, written by Mariana Mazzucato. And the world is approaching a tipping point in climate change when protecting the future of civilization will require dramatic interventions. How long have they been telling us there's a tipping point? I mean, it's, come on. So they have the same nonsense. They go through all the catastrophes. They talk about, you know, even red meat here, on and on and on. But what she says here, interconnected crisis. Many think of the climate crisis as distinct from health and economic crises. It's crises caused by the pandemic. But the three crises are their solutions are interconnected. Now, I've been telling you long before this statement that these COVID would bring on the synthesis of all this stuff, and solutions are essentially what eliminates you and helps the public health, as some third party has determined they have power to decide for you. Three crises and their solutions are interconnected, caused by the pandemic. And so this brings up a whole, what is the actual causation here? They never really will tell you that. What they're doing is they're pulling it together, just as I told you about the fact that this agenda, even though it looks like different stories, is really all the same. It's just different points of failure that they've engaged in order to overwhelm us in one regard but try to show, give them legitimacy, because look how aware they are. Now, anybody who can't look at the sun and find it and see it, I don't know, folks. I'm not so sure about their mental capacity or their integrity. So that would be the first thing I'd be looking at. But here's the connection in this one article. There's lots to read here. What they're after. You need to read this stuff just to see what they're after. Climate lockdown. You obviously is going to connect it over to your COVID lockdowns, right? Why are the names consistent? They're doing psychological linkage so that they can say it's all caused. And yet the pandemic is a fraud. It's a plan too. The choir's going, yeah, I know. I'm saying you don't look at it because you know. You look at it for the how they're executing the plan, how it's predictable, and where it is, start to look where it is you're going to throw yourself against it, because if you don't, this is a global insurrection and occupation. No one escapes this. And if you think you do, well, I guess maybe I shouldn't say it. Maybe you're completely isolated. You are the island and completely self-sufficient, not merely reliant, self-reliant, but self-sufficient. But you better not be standing on the earth. Remember, you don't have property at this time. Anyway, nonsense goes on. But this is the climate crisis as distinct from health. They already acknowledge, as I told you they are, the climate and health are universally linked. They're unitarily linked in this religion. And so here's, I guess, the point about another admission. I'm saying take this seriously, folks. Then we start to go down, what's the imposition? And the timing is COP26. These people are speaking of the so-called Green New Deal. This is the green religion. There's nothing different about it. We've talked about it. Most of us know about this fraud, but this is the mechanism they're getting sway. And they've learned how to defeat most all of your defenses against it. Hope you appreciate what I just said there. Most all. You're not going to find many, but they are there. It's the disaster you're facing, and then maybe there's a little ray of hope. But this title comes up to start guiding where this is going. The misanthropic bankers behind COP26 and the Green New Deal. The vast sweeping trend towards a green economy is now being pushed by forces that may make an educated citizen rather uncomfortable. You think? Of course, news reports flash daily showcasing the brave young movement of eco-warriors. They're eco-terrorists, folks. Led by Sweden's forever 15-year-old Greta Thunberg, or America's 17-year-old Jamie Margolin, and who have become a force across Europe and America leading such movements as the Extinction Rebellion, This Is Zero Hour, the Sunrise Movement, and Children's Eco-Crusade. Again, the children, the indigenous children and women, folks. This is those that are supposed to be the protected class, and men are not even mentioned. That's like the sun. Men are like the sun. You don't even want to notice it. They're in the way. Remember, they said such movements. You're going to find out this planetary health consideration on Sao Paulo, they admit, is a social movement. Climate change, planetary health, is a political movement. It has nothing to do with law. There's no science about it, not relative to what's going on. They have no respect for anybody's laws or rights. And you see that when they make savings clauses to say, well, you have the savings clause, but we're going to impose this until you know that. We're going to defeat you unless you know you have a protection. And this story goes on and on and on about it, but they go down and explain to you, again, having to see it, how this is coming about, how this is an economic or financial construct. They're using these names, these people as fronts to promote, and we kind of know that, but this is moving in and moved through the same people that were the failures in the parties that were involved in the failures of 2009, and that toxic debt monetization of fraud, as I told you, would come back. It's here now. This documents this fact of these same players in the world, bank so-called players, are behind what's going on in COP26. And they bring up green bonds and oligarchs, And we find the same major figurehead now coming back up. When we begin to pull back the curtain, as this article states, we quickly run into figures like Prince Charles, who recently met with the heads of 18 Commonwealth countries to consolidate climate emergency legislation, which was promptly passed in the UK and Canadian parliaments. If you didn't know, again, it's in for us. And they identify here, following the royal decree, which he's not yet. His mom is hanging on pretty good, though. The Bank of England and some of the dirtiest banks in the Rothschild city of London. Now, that's the crown, folks. And this is what, I don't know why they didn't call it that here. Web of Finance has promoted, quote, green financial instruments. This is where they write their paper and agree that it's valuable, and they have now the value they need to come after you, to come against you and validate themselves because they supposedly pay for things. This is completely outside of a requirement, a constitutional condition, and that's why your constitution is not actually applicable to it at this level. This green financial instruments led by green bonds, and your green pass, folks, to redirect pension plans and mutual funds towards green projects that no one in their right minds would ever invest in willfully. They take your, as I said, they're after the baby boomers. And think about those pension funds as their liabilities are lessened because of the people that are killed by the death jab. How those lack of obligation now raises the value of those as well, that they are then taking a pension fund, which is a legal entity, is now a value, and they're contrary possibly to the people who are working toward them, or not, I don't know. But you don't know. They're in deciding now, taking all those funds, and they're now turning them into instruments that are going to be monetized through instruments. As I told you would happen when the 2009 fraud thing hits, their toxic debt, just the agreement that something has value allows for instruments to be written against it. This is what got me, and then the Uranium One problem in our investigation in Oregon before it starts. It was Oregon One, and finding all the same players involved, and it was happened to be the attorneys and stuff we were dealing with in 2013 or so in this legislature, passing sweetheart laws and deals. We found out this was a way for them to make value and monetize things that didn't actually exist. That focused us on conservation. And got me to start thinking that the monetization of your public lands and the conservation is such that when the federal government puts the land in, withdraws it from productive use for conservation, it is now protected by the biggest thug in the world as a source of value, which then a financial institution can create instruments to loan against. And let's say the congressman can be part of a sharehold of that company. I don't know how you're ever going to find all that, but that was what the evidence started showing is going on. And so this is the point about causing monetary and financial instruments based on value that's been secured somewhere. It can be fraud now, I told you. This is the problem. It's now kind of exposed here as well. Green bonds, redirect pension. They're stealing the pension funds. Well, those pension funds won't have the liabilities when all their pensioners are dead. What are they going to do with all this stuff? Well, it's going to be the great transition here, folks. The transformation, the great reset. And so I guess I'll stop there. We got a lot to talk about why Prince Charles is a theme throughout this. Well, I'll go through and start with Ice Age Farmer. He points this out for us. And this guy comes back up. Prince Charles calls for what? He's in there telling these people at COP26. He addresses these people, these financial people, these fraudsters, the bankers that are just getting away literally with murder and theft, and nobody stops it. Shows you how important, how involved everybody in the government is with it, and they're a conducive aiding and abetting this problem. Prince Charles calls for, quote, military-style campaign to force, quote, fundamental economic transition, close quote, and combat climate change. The heir to the British throne warned the audience during his speech at COP26 climate conference that world governments had no choice but to engage in a, quote, military-style campaign across an otherwise doomed planet. The countries of the world must themselves, quote, on a warlike footing, close quote, to address The looming climate crisis, Prince Charles said in an opening statement to the climate conference in Glasgow on Monday. He warned that the assembled heavies that climate change posed, quote, an even greater existential threat than COVID-19 pandemic. It did? How come we're not locked down over climate change? Oh, they're saying that that's coming, folks. And who caused that? You did. You anthropomorphic cancer. He's talking to the heavies, the assembled heavies, which were money. It's the money, the people that are driving, the people that are making the fraudulent notes that other people accept and underwrite and make instruments to fund this thing against you. As I told you before, they're stealing it from the property owners right now. They're moving into a time they don't need your money. They have now all the politics they want across the globe. You see COVID-19, the infrastructure's there. Now they just need to be able to show people they have money that the people agree to take in order to be their soldiers. A greater existential threat than COVID-19. Well, what was the threat of COVID-19? Well, there was no threat. It was in your mind. You saw the society up to 34% now collapse. 74% collapsing underneath the suggestion that the sky was falling. And now we're not going to even have a sky. All coming from people who don't acknowledge the sun. And on this Sunday, I'll say in both meanings, for those of you that may understand the entendre there. This will take trillions. Well, folks, when you look at what the Fed Reserve gets in interest from Treasury, it's in the trillions now. Now, I want to understand something. Can you tell me, please? Where the Treasury is administering the funds that are appropriated by Congress on the full faith and credit of the people, what interest does Treasury own to a Fed? And when you hear that that's trillions now, and that's why the bunny keeps going up, where's that money going? Who's paying for that? Well, this is telling you the moneyed interest, that's all that money's going to be going into. You think they're going to fix the climate and fix planetary health? No, it's all to control you and get more from you. Put you into what we saw, Agenda 2030. Prosperity. Put you into prosperity is what? By definition, in the document, austerity, which is what? You're doing what you're told. It's a behavioral control. And if you don't do what you're told, you're going to get even more austerity. And you're not going to have property and you're going to be happy. That's what they tell us. It's all based in this carbon economy. They're pressing for carbon taxation. We talked about this long time ago, the fraud that was. And to my dismay, as I watched over time, people in my first broadcast network, people involved with that, they actually embraced carbon tax set-off write-offs, and they tried to do their thing in that to try and make companies that would engage the carbon tax set-off to make money. People in the Liberty Movement, so-called. I'm stunned. I just can't believe this stuff. What am I going to do? What am I going to do, though? Nothing. I got to watch this hypocrisy in people. They're willing, because of a so-called buck, to go out and cause themselves harm or others harm, agree, if nothing else, to those that are harming others, aiding and abetting, being accessories after the fact, misprison, as we find Title 18 U.S.C. 3 and 4, 3 or 4, which one, either one talks to that. Carbon credits, your life on social credit, on the behavioral controls, on if you're not a good little behavioral robot, you're human, and you're predictable, and you're the least of their worries, and this is the document I'm coming to here, you are the least of their worries, the least questionable, because they know you better than you know yourself. And they already got you. They already got you there. And again, this next document, as I go on, the warlike style, the warlike aggression that the governments are portraying is this next document, spoken to now. You get to see it in writing. What they're doing and where it's focused, and then we get to see this interesting, astonishing point about why they think they get to do it. And it's really an interesting insight. It makes my mind boggle a little bit. How do you really start addressing some of this? And I don't know if I really ever have the answer. Again, it's that method we're trying to we're trying to establish a method of protection, at least give yourself a place to cover while you're watching what's happening, because you're not recognizing it coming at you. You don't even understand the force of where it is. And you don't even understand there's enemies in your own gate. It's in your brain. It's inside your head. And this is what this next document talks about. The fundamental economic transition is a social movement. They're going to change this world. And guess who then is the military-style arm that this guy, this prince, so-called prince heir to the throne, whatever his statement is, to all y'all that are in the UK, it should tell you something as well. He's going to be turning to whom? NATO. And consistent with this week, and thank you again to the researching the links, and I can't get to near as many as that there are, or the topics to cover. In fact, I didn't even post maybe twice as many links. I just couldn't even get to them. I said, you're going to have to find them, folks. There are links within links within links of information. But I want to turn to a document here. It's on a website, Countering Cognitive Warfare, Awareness and Resilience. And I jump right down from that. I went, okay, what's this about? And this was sent to me, and it talks about first line in cognitive warfare, the human mind becomes the battlefield. The aim is to change not only what people think, but how they think and act. Waged successfully, it shapes and influences individual and group beliefs and behaviors to favor an aggressor's tactical and strategic objectives. And right now, my body and my eyes and my mind are sucked into this document because this is what I'm talking about to y'all. I got some more to read, but I want to get to the punchline here because this is what happens when you go a little too fast. Maybe I should read some more. The insight that's going on. And the punchline is who is writing it. I jump right past that. So let me hold that out. A little bit of teaser here. I'm just going to jump down to one of the paragraphs. Again, it speaks exactly what I'm telling you we're all up against. What we find out now is called the battlefield Internet of Things is not a guess. It's not a theory. It's not sci-fi. We speak here after the control. Your mind is the battlefield. Combined arms. In the last century, the innovative integration of mobile infantry, armor, and air resulted in a new and initially irresistible kind of maneuver warfare. Today, cognitive warfare integrates cyber information, psychological, and social engineering capabilities to achieve its ends. It takes advantage of an internet and social media to target influential individuals, specific groups, and large numbers of citizens selectively and serially in society. It seeks to sow doubt, to introduce conflicting narratives, to polarize opinion, to radicalize groups, and to motivate them to act into acts, to acts, to acts, behavior, folks, to motivate them to behavior that can disrupt or fragment an otherwise cohesive society. And the widespread use of social media and smart device technologies in alliance member countries may make them particularly vulnerable to this kind of attack. I hope you picked all this up because I forgot something and my mind was a whole lot smarter. My integration of all these tabs is a whole lot better 3 days ago than it was after trying to pull all this together. I lost a couple connections, but I found one of them right there. And they said it's particularly vulnerable. They're talking about you being vulnerable to these attacks from outside. I want you to hold that idea. Because this ultimately becomes a justification, your vulnerability. And this is astonishing how they've twisted this around, and it's partly a truth as well, because you are vulnerable. But listen to the battlefield of the Internet of Things that's already been in writing. This is a writing. Let me get to the punchline of this one. Who wrote this? It was published in NATO Review and does not constitute an official position of policy of NATO member government. But who wrote it? Would we be surprised to find out none other than Johns Hopkins University, Imperial College, London? Would it surprise us? They're speaking about something that NATO publishes. It says, oh, we're not going to, it's not the official position. But it explains a whole lot. I mean, what that paragraph I wrote, what haven't you read? What haven't you seen happening to us? Has to show you it is going on. We they call it the human domain, is the battlefield. And when you find out, and here we get to the document. And what I guess I want to point out here, because there's just so much to go through. You see in a document. Things like dual use. Admissions that there is a threat that the dual use is used as weapons. Just like I tell you, Title 50 requires. This is a NATO now. This is a NATO document. Cognitive warfare. They're talking about this battlefield Internet of Things. They're talking about neural connected things. They don't need connection, folks. They're talking about abilities to manipulate what you believe, what you know, that it's there, that it's vulnerable is the most important point. There was so much in here just explaining the condition, explaining what we're under. They, like insights, the right, I was noticing the little phrases started catching my eye a lot more. This one in the middle of page 6. Conflicts will increasingly depend on and revolve around information and communication. Indeed, both cyber war and net war are modes of conflict that are largely about, quote, knowledge, unquote, about who knows what, when, where, and why, and about how secure a society, and about how secure a society, by John Aquila, and David Ronfeld of Advent of Net War, RAN 1996. Long-term studies on this. You go through and read, and I want to get down to the conclusion. It says, it shows you the insight that there's someone out there that knows, likely beyond most of the people that even listen to me and might think, how long and deep-seated this is, coming out of what NATO would produce from their information hub relative to what they're planning and doing, they're focusing on, against us, and it deals in exactly what so internet is about, the battlefield of internet things. And they justify this battle, militarization of brain science to do these controls, to provide they don't even really provide the control. They provide the suggestion that allows you to make the wrong mistake. Is justified because they can do that you're vulnerable to somebody else, another adversary. That they justify attacking you as the battlefield to gain your behavioral control as a reason for imposing upon you in the first order. This is really the same anti-intuitive logic, reasoning that's being used against you, and you can hear it when you read a little bit of this document. It's only 45 pages. You hear in Jeff Childer's attorney, Jeff Childer, explaining to us about these answers, these questions that they ask. You hear that in the attorney's set it up before you got there and set up the protocol before you got there, in order to bring an unsuspecting victim into defeat. And that one was programmed by all the things that they thought they knew that weren't so, what I talk about to be careful of. You get to the conclusion here, and says, after all this discussion, and I don't have the time to cover it. All these papers would take hours and hours to go through. You can read them yourself quicker. I would hope you have insight to be able to put two and two together and two and two, and then jump outside of that frame and move into a different domain and do that math and to see how this thing's the dimensional stuff, how that works. Their conclusion goes something like this. Failing to thwart the cognitive efforts of NATO's opponents would condemn Western liberal societies to lose the next war without a fight. If NATO fails to build a sustainable and proactive basis for progress in the cognitive domain, it may have no other option than kinetic conflict. Kinetic capabilities may dictate a tactical or operational outcome, but victory in the long run will remain solely dependent on the ability to influence, affect, change, or impact the cognitive domain. Well, period. There, I'll interject. They're talking about your brain, you. They're talking right up front that this, if we do not do something, if NATO, and you talk about this in the world domain, and I told you they were going to come up in some authority. And here's this document that's showing that they're built, that built authority's built in. And if they don't act to control and influence your behavior, an adversary will, and destroy your liberal society. I found that fascinating. Anyway, going on. Because the factors that affect the cognitive domain can be involved with all aspects of human society through the areas of will, concept, psychology, and thinking, among other, so that particular kind of warfare penetrates into all fields of society. It can be foreseen that future information warfare will start from cognitive domain first to seize the political and diplomatic strategy initiative, but it will also end in the cognitive realm. In other words, the natives have to agree ultimately. The political and diplomatic strategy, I've been shown, explained in reading, diplomacy is just another extension of war in a different, fought in a different way. So I'm going to stop reading there. You can ultimately get this document. They are justifying utilizing the psychological and social techniques that they have developed against you because you're vulnerable to someone else that can do the same thing. And they mention Russia and China in this. If you see how insidious this thing is, and again, if I can say it again, this has been a war against us, the people. We have never actually enjoyed peace. This is probably the epitome of Machiavellian thinking, I would think, as well. But to underwrite this, a NATO 6th domain, August Cole, Hervé Le Guander, stated, today's progresses in nanotechnology, biotechnology, information technology, and cognitive science, NBIC, boosted by the seemingly unstoppable march of a triumphant troika made of artificial intelligence, big data, and civilizational digital addiction, have created a much more ominous prospect. An embedded fifth column where everyone, unbeknownst to him or her, is behaving according to the plans of one of our competitors. If you don't think they know you better than yourself and they're already doing this, you're deluded. It almost starts to send chills in my spine with the clarity of the depression I was thrown in, the darkness after reading the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and understanding, getting away from all this controversy about it, looking at it as essentially a manifesto, an instruction manual of us. They're speaking right to them. They've already been implementing it. When I see a COVID go and take this place out when there's no, on a fraud, as I saw the financial destruction, so-called, based on a fraud, and the consistency with this, and these stories I'm telling you today are all continuing to implement those very same observations. And we find a document here that exploits those very things because you are exploitable. The very reason why they do it is because you are exploitable. They want to exploit you for their liberal society, for their purposes, before someone else does. Shows a bunch of people in the world that are easily swayed to do whatever they can get believed on and have no foundation. They all live on sand, the very place we're instructed to never be. Why, if I have any objective basis, it's to rely on the black and white that is the agreed to rules of engagement. And if anybody, I think, I'm sure, has been in the military, I haven't, so I'm not going to even speak there, but I've heard that the rules of engagement are you try to adhere to them. In fact, a soldier can be a liability for not following a rule of engagement and being caught in a problem. but that they're not absolute. And that's the world we're in here. There's nothing absolute. Even as I read through this document, this is even a somewhat of a propaganda piece as well. It does instruct us, but I'm not going to use it to say we're done. The more I understand, we have to be responsible to ourselves. It's one I've seen, maybe even in this document, maybe somewhere close to it. But we have to know ourselves, know thyself, folks. And you're going to have to, we're all living in a foundation of sand. We have to start, there's a foundation underneath the sand. Get rid of it. Move it aside and get to the hard rock, if you will. Interesting that I'm a miner, if you can, it's always important. Find some tangibility, solid foundation. Where is that actual earth? Is it the concept of Gaia, or is it actually the rocks? The rocks that set at 23 degrees slope away from the sun rotate around it, giving us the climate that they claim that anybody who doesn't like their liberal progress would deny to them, that they say that you're a climate denier. Nonsense. That this document's very important to outline exactly. It just spoke to me greatly. It spoke to us in this digital battlefield of Internet of Things. It's already being used. Your groupings and your seeds going on, the types of situations you're getting in the social media is the tools they're using to keep us in our groups and divided and controlled and misinformed as well. They also state they don't need an adversary. They don't need to create division. And that's very, when you read it, I hope you understand that they don't need to get you to be not liking something. They just get to get you disassociated with your own principle. Like you'll hear that attorney saying that the court does, interrogating somebody and finding out that they stand on a religious belief, but their actual contention is one of health. That it undermines the sincerity claim. How totally unaware we are to these techniques. That we also see the tool of the information age, the human domain, the mind domain that they're controlling. You are the problem. You are controllable. Because you are the controllable problem, you need to be controlled. And the only way I understand to be able to keep that at a distance is to know thyself and know the foundation and understand that that's what they're doing and try not to engage it and never engage where you don't have to. These folks are talking about not engage. I think they bring up Sun Tzu here. Don't engage in a war that you don't have to fight, and you can, but set up the conditions that you still defeat the enemy without engaging. That's what they're doing. And here we have another story right behind that. Tools of this condition, exposed and printed in through NATO hubs, innovation hubs, and no less. We talked about innovation zones. So this is the internet's a big innovation zone. It's all a military tool. It's a military takedown. This is your military's doing this against even your republic here in the United States. After looking at the stuff in the UK here for someone that was asking me where to find some stuff, yeah, that's a big difference. But you really have to be cautious going through that one. You have to understand the conventions used there. But I found information. It's all there. You just got to understand the conventions being used. They don't make it easy. Why would they? They don't want to make it easy for the enemy combatants to be able to combat them. And so here they give you misinformation. They have controllers. I don't care what side you put them on. Military's neutral to all that, if you get that part too. The big tech ministry of truth clamping down on climate change denial. So I was leading with this idea. How am I a climate change denier if I see atmosphere? I'm breathing in an atmosphere and I see the sun. I can't deny the climate. What the heck are you talking about? You're a lunatic. You must be talking about some political movement, some green religion. I don't deny nature. And so what you do is you start to put yourself into a place that they cannot address. And you don't get an argument. You just say, you're just a lunatic. I don't have to listen to you no more. If you breathe air and you see the sun, and you say I'm denying climate, you're a lunatic. Whatever else you want to say, whatever you comes up with your mind. But it's all to push these ideas, or to push ideas like you. What you have is no good enough. And they prey on our ignorance. Nobody can be knowledgeable enough in all the so-called scientists to pull this off. The legitimate scientists anyway to pull it off. And then you find out the actual scientists, the people that are looking at it, like, well, say, a Robert Malone may be looking on the inventor of the mRNA treatment system. He will tell you they don't know. And why I think it caused him to come out as an ethicist on boards and an advisor, he says, we can't do this to people. I already know this is not where we don't know this stuff. Your tests are going to be faulty. They have to be fraudulent if you're going to say this pledge. We can't know these things. But you don't use that for a religious exemption. That's the problem. Forget the health when you're talking religion or spirituality. But all this underties the imposition of austerity, the interference and transition of your life. And looking at how they were doing this, what was causing this, started to get me over to a story. I'd kind of passed by it, but it's coming back, and I got to get to it real quick here. California ports scrambled to clear 40% of the empty containers on Sunday. There was a thing 2 weeks ago or so that found out there was a bunch of empty containers. Why your supply chains interfered with was that the terminals have a bunch of empty supply containers that they needed to move out of the way, there's a whole big dynamic around this. But they were claiming, the federal government says, because one of the problems is these storage containers in the way, we're going to fine the shipper, the carrier, an escalating amount for them to stick, if they stick around at the terminal port. If you don't get rid of them, we're going to fine you. Well, again, like government ham-handedly coming in, when you read what the dynamic and the situation is, finding the carrier does not actually solve the problem. What it does do is translate in a progressive liberal fashion, it seems, the cost to the consumer of the people that would have to now pay the value of fines that can ratchet up to be more than what it used to cost to ship a whole container. So this story comes back in. Why? Why would the port problem? Well, the transition in society is changing that global supply chain. It's what you've been hearing in the news so much. We have another, as I went through and picked this up, there's an underlying theme about this. Ocean carriers will pass on fines to importers for lingering containers. I need to pull out just the nubbins of this thing. When you realize all the players, what this looks like, and I don't understand why the military is going at warp speed to inject everybody with a poison, but it's not coming in at warp speed to handle a problem where it looks like the terminals are the problem. They find the wrong people. They're obstructing transfers of empty containers in. There's a dynamic in the world that containers have to go to Asia. There was a hiccup in the system that they caused. The terminals aren't actually doing it. I have a feeling the unions are also part of this. Unions are liberal, right? Progressive oriented. There's a real problem in management as well. There's a problem with getting our goods from agriculture, getting the bins to send overseas. But it seemed to me that if we, to solve this, and I may be missing some points, and I'm certainly not describing all of the dynamic that's going on, that everyone's pointing at everybody else. If the government put at warp speed military to start moving those bins in, stack them on the 65 acres they got, moving train systems of containers back to the agricultural system that we need for exports, and put the terminal back into management under military control because it's national security, then maybe, if the military has logistics and they can move this thing along, we would increase the 8 ships worth of bins that are ready to go east, and force the exports to be moving from this country and getting the supply chain back open, that no one wants to seem to do that. A thought. Grimner, hope you're getting better. Thank you very much for listening today. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son.
just open a whole case of Wolfpath.